and welcome to this week's episode of the Six Figure Success Club, where we are passionate about helping you grow your business. Today, we're going to be joined by Jenna Farmer, who is a PR expert and journalist who helps business owners get the right kind of media coverage to elevate their brand. Let's get into it. Amazing. Jenna, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, everyone. So I'm Jenna. I help businesses, whether they've got a product or a service that want to get all over the media. So that can be magazines and newspapers, but also things like radio and podcasts, and really just sort of getting themselves out there, getting known for what they do in their industry.
I love that. I think this is a really important topic because I think it's something that a lot of business owners kind of shy away from. When we think of the media, we think of celebrities and actors and people that are doing those sorts of roles, and less so on the business side, I think. So how important do you think it is for a small business to get themselves in the media?
Oh, massively, but for several reasons, really. I mean, the one obvious one is obviously visibility and sales and things like that, you know, especially for like product businesses I've worked with. I've seen them make thousands of pounds like the day an article has gone out just because of the instant sales. But for service businesses, it works a little bit differently, especially if you've got like a high ticket program. You know, someone might not just see one piece of coverage and immediately sort of make a huge buying decision, but it really helps with with your existing audience, helping their buying decisions, because it's all about showing them your authority, your prestige, and that stamp of approval, really, and getting, you know, that coverage really, really helps with that. But also, you know, bringing that audience then into your audience. And just like with any other way, whether that's Instagram or in email, being able to then nurture that audience as well. So it's all about, you know, bringing them into your audience, showing off what you do. But also, it also has some really great SEO benefits as well. So if like being found on Google is what you're trying to do, getting links from publications can really help with that.
I hadn't thought of it like that, because obviously, yes, the link to your website is probably in the article. So the more people that click on the article or click on your link, and yeah, that all adds up to the SEO side. So I like what you said there about it not only brings in like a new audience, but also it helps to present you as an expert in your field. Because, I mean, we've all seen it where you've got people that are like, I've seen in Forbes or I've seen in Grazia or whatever it is. And you're right, it does kind of bring that extra level of trust, because if they want to print your story, the likelihood is that it's a valid story and it's something real that audience members can kind of sink their teeth into.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what it is. It's about showing, and I think it's really hard to stand out in some industries and having that, you know, approval. But also, you know, when you start to write for publications as well, people get to know you and your voice. So it's another place, I think, with Instagram, obviously things are like really short form. So if you've written an article, people really get to know you reading that article. So it's not just about the logos, actually sort of the content that you're putting out there really helps.
I like that. Yeah. And it gets people. I think it's just another good way of sharing your story and your value and what it is that you can help people with. And in the same way that you might pick a particular social media platform to use. So some people favor Instagram, others favor Facebook, for example. Your audience might not all of them might use those platforms, but they might read the newspaper that you're going to be featured in. So it's another way of getting in front of a different segment of your audience.
Yeah, and unlike some social media platforms, obviously, you know, if I do an Instagram now, most of the audience are going to come from that Instagram in the next sort of few days, while PR can be passive in some senses. You know, like some people I know that still get most of their sales from an article that was like written 3 years ago. So once you've actually got the coverage, it can, especially if it's something that people are Googling, people are searching. Obviously, a print magazine has a bit of a short shelf life. You know, you've got like 1 month. But with things digital, you know, people can find you in articles written years ago and come into your audience without you then having to do something like you have to do on social media every day.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. The fact that, yeah, if it's an online publication, it's going to be there forever. Like once it's published, it's not going to go away. So anyone that's kind of searching through any media site or through Google is going to end up hopefully at your article, however long ago it was posted.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really has some powerful benefits for lots of people.
So let's talk about the business side now. So when in a business journey do you think a business would be ready to get themselves into PR and look at getting themselves in the media?
So I always just say it's really about two things. It's not about like a certain amount of turnover. It's not about like how many staff you employ or like if you're a limited company or a sole trader or anything like that. It's just about have you got some sort of story to tell? That might be like your expertise from being a business owner, but it might also be a personal story, something that's happened to you. Have you got that story to tell? But have you most importantly got somewhere to direct people? Because there's no point the PR coverage just saying Jenna Farmer and then people having to Google. Like you said, we want some sort of link, whether that's to a podcast, a Facebook group, a website, an Instagram. And that's where we have to have a bit of strategy behind it. So as long as you've got those two things, and as long as you've got a plan then what you want to do with it, there's no point getting people to a website that's got nothing on there, that you're not capturing their email, you're not getting them joining your Facebook group or whatever it is. As long as you know where people you want them to find you and where you want to direct people to, then you can absolutely start PR. And I've had people have a membership, for example. I've had people come into it that don't even have a website yet, and they're just using an Instagram page and they're brand new to business, and they've been able to get coverage because they've got something of value to share. So it's definitely, it's just about having those two things. If you've got those two things, you can absolutely give it a go.
And when you're where you're pointing them to, the examples that you gave are generally free resources. Would you point, is that what you're suggesting, or would you point them to like a pay, some a product page? Or
we wouldn't need to do a product page. Ideally, we'd want to point them to just your website. So like I've got jennafarmerpr.co.uk, for example. The reason we would want to point them to your website is because A, journalists don't love to use things like Kartra links or MailerLite links or things like that. But again, it goes back to that SEO. So ideally, we want all the links to go to one place because that's going to then improve the SEO of that one place. And also, you know, say if I've got like, you know, a course that I'm doing, but someone finds that article a year later, but the course isn't there, the link is going to be broken. So I always just encourage people, if it's a website, just drive them to your main page, but just make sure that your main page has got whatever you want on there. So if you're promoting a course at the moment, you just have that as a banner, or if you've got a freebie, you have that at the front of the page. And that way you don't have to worry about the link expiring or the information being out of date, because people who will find you years on will just find the most up-to-date version of that website. There are a few exceptions where it might not be the best idea to do a website, and that just comes down to your like strategy. So I've had some people say to me, like, I'm not interested in SEO. I know that all my sales come from my Facebook group. In that case, it might be better to say to the journalist, I've got this really great free community that people can join. And those sorts of things are okay. The same with the podcast, if you want people to listen to your podcast. So it's also a little bit about knowing where your current audience comes from. But for most people, the website can be a bit of a catch-all, but also it's going to give them the SEO benefits. So for most people, the website makes the most sense.
Okay, thank you. That's good. And I completely get what you're saying there about the fact that the likelihood is that your website, like Jenna Farmer PR, is probably never going to change. It will be your website forever. So regardless of when they're coming across the article, they'll still kind of come into your space instead of getting the broken link, like you said, if you've moved on and are doing a different product. And I think it's important, like you said, to look at where your audience, where you want your audience to go. Like it's all very well and good us saying, just do it to your website. But if you don't think that that's the best thing for your business, then think about what actually where you can send them. That's almost like an evergreen link that isn't necessarily a website, but is where like the traffic that you're used to getting sales from is going to.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's just being about strategic about that. Like if you start to do PR and you get loads of people follow you from podcasts, but no one follows you when you're in Forbes, then you don't need to be in Forbes. You need to focus on more podcasts. So in the beginning, I just encourage people to be like open-minded and try new things. But if like something is working for you, you don't have to do all the PR things. You know, you don't have to write articles if actually people are coming to you from podcasts, or you don't have to be on podcasts if you find that people come to you from other methods. So that is where, like you say, just tracking things, keeping an eye and just being strategic about it can really like help save you time as well.
I love that. All of the interviews that I do on all of these on all of the podcast episodes always comes back to planning and strategy and whatever it is that you're doing. So whether it's PR or I did an episode last week, we were talking about systems in your business. It's all about doing the planning up front to make the most of the effort that you're putting in. And I love that that's the same with PR as well, because that's one of my favorite things, is making the plan in advance, because there's so many things we can do in business. But I think if you just kind of go into it like gung-ho without a real plan, you're going to end up wasting a lot of your energy because you won't get the most out of it that you could have.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd love to say I do that for all areas of business. I don't have a plan, but for PR, it is really important, especially because you're either going to do two things. You're either going to invest money, whether that is for to pay someone to do your PR or to join a course or community or something like that, or you're going to have to invest time. And with PR, it's not like, doing a Facebook ad. It does take time. Even if you listen to this podcast and pitched yourself today, if it was for a print magazine, it might not come out for 3 months. So just take time. Of course, it might not be that you get the first yes from one pitch. We've had people that have, but it might take a few weeks for you to actually figure out, okay, this story isn't working, I'm going to take another story. And you do have to have a bit more patience with PR because it's about building that momentum. It's not just about getting one thing, you know, it's like with social media, it's not just about getting one thing go viral. It's the same with PR. It's not about one thing getting a yes for. It's about building a system where eventually, and it really does happen, the journalists come to you. And that is when you're going to save a lot of time, because once you've started being featured in a few places and they know you for the expert of XYZ, they will come to you, and then that's going to really save you a lot of time. You don't have to pitch yourself. So you just need to keep going till you get to that point.
Yeah, consistency is key, as with everything. Just keep going until it pays off, which it definitely will if you continue with it in the right way. So if we've got business owners listening that are like, oh, PR, that sounds like something I could get involved in, how do you suggest that they, what sort of story do you suggest they start with? Is it better to start with their personal journey, or is it something that they can teach? Like, what's the feeling there?
So I always just break it down into three things. So you've got your lived experience, which is just like you say, your personal story. That could be related to your business, like why you started your business, or it could just be, you know, completely random, something that you're passionate about talking about. Like I often talk about having an autistic child. It's got nothing to do with PR, but it's something that I talk about in the media. Or the most obvious place to start for a lot of service businesses in particular is the expertise. So, you know, what are you the expert in? So the five top tips, the mistakes that you're making, the problems that you need solving, all of those like really quick actionable things are a really great place to start. But another good place to think about as well is anything that is the third type, which is timely and relevant. So that just means it's always good to say, why is now the right time to tell this story? For sometimes it's going to be like a breaking news story. Like I just had one thing that I shared in my membership today was like about an accountancy change and the way that small business do accountancy is changing. There's been new legislation. I didn't really understand any of the thing, but I'm sure the people that read it would. I'm typing it thinking, I have no idea what this is about. But so that is a news story in the sense that this is a new story, a new legislation. We need an expert to comment on it. If you're an accountant, that's perfect for you. So there's those sorts of things. If there's if a government says we're going to increase the VAT of small businesses, then us small businesses would be perfectly placed to talk about how that would impact us. So that's an example of like a breaking news story. But we've also got things that at different times of year. So seasonal, like Christmas is a good one for so many service experts, like whether you're talking about like health problems, like dealing with family situations, you know, there's so much expertise that we could share around common problems and things that people need help with Christmas. And of course, then New Year is always a really popular one for that as well. Things like awareness days also come under that. So, you know, if you are health experts or PCOS and it's PCOS awareness month, that might be the perfect time to tell your story. Yeah. And the final thing that isn't always popular when I say it, but the final thing that comes under that is things like TikTok. So if something is trending on social media, journalists are going to want people to talk about it. So I see these every single day in my inbox, you know, and I always give this example. We had a psychologist in the membership and I said to her, oh, I've got a really great opportunity. I've just saw it's for stylist and you need to talk about the TikTok trend of silent walking. And she was like, well, what's silent walking? And we went on to TikTok and the trend is just going for a walk without taking your headphones, which is what we've been doing since the beginning of time. I do all the time because I always forget my headphones. But it's like, that was a TikTok trend. So they want to comment on like, is this a good idea? And so, you know, it's so silly. But if something is it almost becomes part of the language. So silent walking, you might have seen, have you seen raw dogging, which has become a new TikTok trend?
No.
No, it's not what you think. It's where, I hate TikTok sometimes. It's where you go on an aeroplane, for example, or anywhere in your life, and you don't watch a TV, you don't look at your phone, you just sit and stare into space.
Honestly, and this, this is what we just used to do all the time because we didn't have technology.
This was a big trend a few weeks ago. People were filming themselves, the irony, on the plane, not watching anything and just staring into space. And then there was all these requests. I must have seen like 20 different requests that week saying, I want an health expert to say, is this a good idea? I want a mental health expert to say, is this a good idea? So they really can be arbitrary, but they can be a great way to get into these publications, because if something's being talked about, then chances are the journalists are going to want to cover it. And those are silly examples, but there might be things where actually social media and TikTok has done good things, you know, like maybe a recipe's gone viral and they want you to tell you how to create it. Maybe there's a trend of like decorating your house in under £100 and they want an interior designer to do it. So it's not always weird and random, but it often is. But those are examples of one thing that you could do if you're not really feeling like you've got a really strong story that's standing out to you, is to just start scrolling on TikTok, you know, keeping up to date with the news. You can do something called set a Google alert, where you just go to google.com/alert, and if you were, say, a menopause expert, I could type in menopause, and then every time menopause is written about, that's going to send me an email. So if there was a new study today that said, you know, menopausal women are more likely to quit their job, I'm going to get that email, and then that gives me an idea for a news story that I can comment on. So there's so many ways that you can jump on the media, but those are the sort of three main things that you could focus on.
I like that. So it's a wide variety of things. So if telling your personal story isn't something that resonates with you, you don't need to do that. You can share your business knowledge instead, and also your expertise versus what's hot in the media at the moment, or whatever is trending on TikTok, however weird that might be. But I like that, like the fact that you can kind of jump in wherever feels most best for you. There's no kind of one size fits all. It's what's going to work for you and your business right now.
And it depends on like your working week as well. Like, you know, you might not have time to write a whole article, but you might have time to spend 5 minutes giving a quote on silent walking, for example. But other people say, oh, I just don't have time to respond quick enough. Like, I'm doing clients 9 to 5. So then that might not be for you, because with a lot of those things, when it is a breaking news story, you need to get in there quickly. But then you might say, okay, I'm just going to maybe do one day a month where I pitch 10 different expert topics. So you can really think about, okay, what fits in with what my story is, what fits into my working week, but also I think what you like to do as well. Like, some people I work with love to just do things on really quick deadlines. I have a lot of clients that have got ADHD, and they're like, if the deadline's longer than an hour, I'm not going to look at it. So they love these timely news stories, because I'm like, 15 minutes, go, and they really thrive on that. But there's other people that are like, please don't pitch me anything like that. I'll just do things at my own pace. I'll do an article a week. So know what your brain likes to do as well, and how your brain works, I think. So that means you'll be more likely to do it. I don't want it to be something that you absolutely hate doing, because then it'll just fall to the bottom of your list.
Yeah, absolutely. The amount of things that we could do that, like, lots of other business owners do that don't necessarily fit what we do, doesn't mean you have to do them. You need to find the right things in your business that work for you. So you're right, like, if it's the quick turnaround of a 15-minute deadline, that's probably, I'll be honest, that's probably not something I'm going to want to get involved in. That's way too much pressure. But I'm quite happy to share, like, my personal story. Like, I love talking about my story. And it's finding what works for you and your business and what you're comfortable with. Don't just do it because you think you should, or because other people are doing it, because it'll come across in what you do that you don't want to be doing it. Like, your energy won't feel right. The wording's probably not going to be the best, because you're not going to enjoy doing it.
And I think one thing that really helps with journalists is if you can go the extra mile. So, you know, not to just give them the same formulaic response, and, you know, to be really helpful. So you've got to come into that mindset of, like, I'm going to be really helpful and valuable. So, like you say, if it's something like, oh, I've just got to do for the sake of it, you're not going to be in that right place to get yourself out there.
Yeah, definitely. So let's take my business. If I want to get involved in the media, where do I start? Like, what do I do? How do I go about getting involved in that?
So there's a few things that you can do. I mean, the first thing, like I just said, just to start reading more. You know, a lot of businesses say to me, like, I don't actually read that much. I recommend that, like I say, setting up a Google alert would send things to you, but, you know, flicking through magazines and newspapers, you know, if you want to be in Grazia, have a look at what Grazia are actually covering. What's the age demographic? Do they actually cover your topic? So just spending time looking through magazines, and you can start to think about where your story would fit and like where your expertise would fit. That can really help. As well as that, you can just start to, Twitter is a really good tool, or X as it's now used. So you can go onto Twitter and you can just search the hashtag journo request. So that's J-O-U-R-N-O and then request, all as one word. And that will show journalists that are looking for case studies and experts. So that's something that would literally just take you 5 minutes a day and can be a really great free way to connect with journalists. But also, when you're flicking through magazines and newspapers, a lot of the time now it's easier than ever to sort of find a journalist. So, you know, if you're reading Happiful magazine, for example, and you've got a story, you might say, okay, what person looks after this section of the magazine? And then you'll find their name. Or if it's online, it's even easier, because sometimes you can just sort of click through. So if I was on Stylist, I went to the business section, I might notice that this journalist's name keeps popping up, and that tells me that she regularly writes for the Stylist business section. I'm just going to click on her name, and it might give me her Instagram, her email. So it's actually easier than ever now, I think, to find these details. And journalists are more on social media now, because actually they need their content to be read, especially online. So they're on Twitter, they might be on Instagram. So it's easier than ever, I think, to connect with them. And it's easier than ever to just drop them an email. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It can just be like, hi, you know, I saw you wrote this article, I thought it was great. If you're ever looking for a different perspective, or if you're ever looking for more stories, give me, you know, give them a few lines about what you do, and just sort of make those introductions. So there's so much that you can do just by getting to know the media a bit more and getting to know the sorts of things they cover.
Mm. I like that. That's, yeah. Go out and do your research, I guess, is the takeaway from that. Like, go and if you want to be in the media and you're currently not reading anything in the media, it's probably not the best place to start. Like, you want to go and engross yourself in it so that you know what's going on. What are people talking about? What do people want to hear about? And then when you find those articles that resonate with you or what you're doing in the business, find out who's writing them and find their details and start building relationships with those journalists.
Yeah, and I think I always say to people, you just have to ask yourself, like, why should anyone care? Because I think as business owners, we're so used to like talking about what we do, but when we're pitching to the press, it's like, which bits are actually relevant here for this journalist? Like, yeah, we might be really proud that we've, you know, done X, Y, Z, or we've made this much money each year, but is that actually what the journalist needs to know about? So it's about changing your mindset. Like, we're not emailing the journalist to like sell them our product or service. It's just like, we're actually giving them value. Like, we've got a really great story that we know that lots of people are going to read, or we've got really great comment that we can give you quickly. It's about just changing that mindset, really, and that you're coming from a place of value rather than just like crossing your fingers and like, let's just send it to every single person. And that's another thing as well, it's like,
you asked that. Yeah.
So
if you've got an article that you want to pitch to a journalist, how many journalists are we pitching it to?
So if you've got like a news story, like let's say you write a book and you wrote a little press release about your book, that's fine to send that to multiple different magazines, because if you think about it, you see the news in more than one place. But if you wanted to write an article, you know, like 5 tips on starting your own podcast, for example, we ideally don't want to pitch the same thing to lots of journalists, because we usually, the value that we're offering them is something exclusive. But that's not to say that if you wrote 5 tips on starting your own podcast, that's not to say that you couldn't write something different for another magazine. Maybe you'd write the 3 most common mistakes people make when starting a podcast. And they're actually going to be quite similar. They're just different takes on it. So I don't recommend sending, you know, loads of journalists the exact same story. I recommend actually personalizing it, so actually taking the time to read a magazine. And it might be that the take you give them is slightly different. So if I had something that I was going to pitch to Grazia magazine, right, do you read Grazia, do you know what I mean?
I don't read it, no, but I'm familiar with it.
Grazia is like my age, you know, like I'm just realized I'm nearly 40 actually. I'm still saying mid-30s, which includes 39, mid-30s. And then you've got something like Platinum magazine, which is like 50s. So you've got two different demographics there. So, you know, I might pitch the same sort of idea, but in a different way to different magazines. And I think that's what a lot of people don't do. They just send the same idea to everyone. So you might, you know, I know that Grazia, for example, talk a lot about the cost of childcare because I've got a five-year-old. So I might just make that connection there with the journalist. I know that you cover a lot of that. So it's just knowing more about the publication, making a personalised connection. You don't have to write a whole new pitch each time, but just some way to show the journalist, I've actually done my homework. I know you've covered this topic before. I know you've covered this article before, or I know your demographic. So I'm not going to say to Cosmopolitan, let's talk about menopause, because that's for women in like late 20s, you know, early 30s. So it's not the right age group. So just taking the time to read and get to know the magazines is going to get your success rate a lot higher.
I like that. Yeah. Again, it's doing your research and making sure that what you're pitching is relevant to the outlet that you're pitching it to.
Yeah.
I had a thought then of obviously the amount of people that are going to be pitching to these journalists is going to be astronomical. I imagine they get a million emails a day saying, I've got a great article that I want you to print for me. What do you think is the best way to get you to stand out to these journalists? Or is it building a relationship with them first before you're pitching them? Like, what's your take on that?
So your success rate is always going to be higher if you're pitching like something reactive. So a cold pitch is where like you read Grazia and you've got an idea, but you don't know if the journalist is covering that topic that month. You're just going to give it a go. So you can do that. But if you know what the journalist is looking for, your success rate is always going to be higher. So that's the first thing. So the way that you can do that, as I said, Twitter is a really great free tool that you can do that, where you can just go on to journo request and the journalist will say something like, I saw one this morning, Metro was looking for a careers expert to talk about XYZ. So we've already broke three barriers. We know exactly what the topic is and we know exactly they're looking for a careers expert and we know the exact person. So obviously our success rate is going to be a lot higher. And when you're taking PR a bit more seriously, there's tools that you can invest in that will find more of those opportunities for you. So there's things that send it to your email. I have my membership that does it. And that's going to just make it easier to know exactly what the journalist is looking for. But if you don't have that, then again it goes back to sending something that's personalized so the journalist knows that you've actually bothered to read and you've not copied and pasted. A subject header is always a good one, so don't make it really vague, like this is the most amazing idea ever, you know, don't tell them and not tell them what it is. Just make it really clear and to the point. So, you know, I wrote one the other day for one of my clients, which was like, I'm a brain expert and here's the five hidden signs that a stroke is coming or something along those lines. So it tells them straight away who they are and what the topic is. Because as well as journalists knowing if to open it, I've had some journalists that say, because they're so busy, they use their inbox as almost like a search engine. So, okay, they're not looking for the brain expert now, but they might remember it and they're going to type in brain expert a week later and that inbox, that email is going to come up. So don't waste time trying to be clever in your email. Make it clear so the journalist knows exactly who you are and what you do and what the email's about in that subject header. And then the same in the email, you've got to think that after they've read those first few lines, they need to know what the email's about. It can't just be like, you know, I'm your biggest fan. And actually, if anyone was asking me, in my personal experience, just get straight to the point. So, hi, I'm Jenna. You know, I'm from XYZ. I've got a great idea for XYZ. Here's what it is. So just get straight to the point because that's going to increase your chances of the journalist having to sort of mess around and avoid things like attachments. So obviously, if you're sending an attachment, more likely it's going to go into junk, but also, again, another barrier that we're relying on for them to open the attachment. So we don't want to make their life difficult. So if we can just get everything clear, concisely, and to the point in an email, that in itself is going to stand out because I used to be a journalist and a lot of people did none of those things. So you can do some of those things, you've got more of a chance.
Excellent. And when you're sending this pitch email, are you including the article in the body of the email or are you sending a summary of what the article would have in it?
Yeah, just a summary, because we don't want to waste time writing an article if it's not going to be featured. So I just give them a paragraph, you know, this is what the article is going to be called. And I might write something like, you know, it's going to cover X, Y, Z. If you've got any examples of stuff you've written before, that's always really helpful. It could just be a blog, a LinkedIn post, just so they can see your writing. That also really helps. But yeah, definitely don't send them the whole article because we want to just give them a brief overview so they can decide if it's right for them.
I like that. Yeah. And like you say, you don't want to waste time writing an article that they might not then want to take up. So let's say that you've pitched your amazing idea to a journalist and they don't respond. Yeah. What's the etiquette for then pitching it to another outlet?
Well, the first thing is to follow up. So I actually just did a little training on this earlier. I just recorded one for my membership because I realised it's so funny. You forget that people aren't following up because it's the thing that you have to teach yourself to do, don't you? So I just follow up everything now with press because I started to realise that actually I'd get so many replies saying, oh my God, I didn't see this, or thank you so much. And I realised it's not just like, you know, me and you emailing each other. As you say, journalists, I still get about 100 emails a day, and I don't really write for press anymore, but I'm still on databases. But, you know, some journalists will get 300 to 500 emails a day. So you are going to fall through the net first. So yes, you might get lucky. And sometimes it is just, they just, you know, your email was top. They logged on, you know, at that specific time, your email was top of the list. But the speed in which they're going means that you are going to possibly not get seen first time around. So I always recommend 3 to 7 days, unless it's something that's urgent, 3 to 7 days, and then just dropping them an email saying, hi, I just wanted to check you'd seen this. So make sure you're doing that first of all. What was the question about then pitching it to somewhere else? Yeah.
My thinking behind it is that if it's a great idea and you want to share that, it might not be right for every publication, or like you say, a journalist might miss it, but it doesn't mean that the story doesn't need sharing.
Yeah, exactly. And then pitch it to somewhere else. But again, use the common sense there. So if you've got like a really specific story, like say if your story was, you know, like I mentioned PCOS, say like a celebrity was diagnosed and you had a difficult journey with it, and that's a specific story, I might just send that to one or two places and wait. But if you're an expert, let's say PR, I would send that to like 10 different places. I just changed the title. I changed the style. So, you know, 3 mistakes you're making with your press release, how to write a perfect press release, you know, and those sorts of things. So it doesn't mean that just because I've sent an email about press releases, I can't send it to anyone else. It's just not giving them the exact same title, the exact same style. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much. It's just about tweaking and personalizing it. And then you can send it to multiple people. Don't feel like you've just got to send one email and then just do nothing until you get a reply. Because otherwise, move very, very slowly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, the amount of people that I know that probably would do that, because they're like, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, or I want to make sure they get first refusal, especially if it's not something that you're particularly used to doing as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good to know that you can just, tweet, write the same theme. It's the same sort of article, different for each publication. I like that.
Exactly.
There was something else I was just going to ask you, and then it's completely flopped out of my head. Right, so we're going to journal request to look at requests. We're reading the media so that we know what the media is talking about and what people care about. How often, if PR is part of our strategy, how often should we be pitching articles?
So I say that you should be building it into your week. I try and get people to get their pitches down to sort of 3 to 5 minutes. And if you can do that, then you could send one every day easily, right? So that's the biggest thing. You need to get your pitch down. So it might be that you create some templates, like you batch write them. So, right, I'm going to pitch some articles this week. So I'm going to write 10 different, you know, articles, outlines, and then I'm going to pitch. Remember, you don't have to send the exact different pitch each time, so you can just tweak it. So, you know, you might change the first line, but then the rest of it stays the same. So I want a pitch to take no more than 3 to 5 minutes, because then if you don't get a reply, it's just taking you 3 to 5 minutes. The problem is if it takes you 3 to 5 hours and you don't get a reply, you're going to think this is absolutely pointless. So it needs to be low risk in terms of your time, so we're just going to give it a go, because it does take time to get yeses. As I said, some people, I have someone that, not sure how, but came into my membership and she sent 2 emails and she's got 2 yeses. So she says she's on 100% success rate. So I'm like, don't send any more, and then I can tell everyone that I've got I'm not on 100% success rate, because you're not going to be right for everyone. But the idea, you know, the idea is if you get it down to sort of 3 minutes, then if you could send 3 a day, that would only take you 10 minutes. But that would be like, if you did that every weekday, that would be a lot.
I'm not going to do the maths on that either.
Yeah. 5 is 15 times by 4 is 60. Yeah, that would be 60. That'd be 60, which would be amazing. So the key there is that you've got to work on getting it down. So, you know, write a template of what you're going to pitch a podcast, what you're going to pitch an article, what you're going to pitch a story. And then when a journalist has it, you know, you can just copy and paste. And you can also cross-purpose things like Instagram. So say if a journalist wanted you to share one tip for growing a podcast and you've done loads of reels, you could actually take it from the caption, you could take things from blog posts. So a useful exercise as well is just to start gathering loads of content, because you actually might have some of this content elsewhere that when a journalist asks you like 5 questions, you can just put it together a lot more quickly.
Yeah, I like that. The idea of like reusing blog posts almost to get into media. That's a great way of reusing content.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was just going to say then was like, amazing that your client so far has got 100% success rate. That's excellent news. But it's important to remember, like any version of sales, because essentially you're selling yourself to these journalists.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's okay for them to say no, like it's going to happen. The more you pitch, the more no's you're going to get. And that is completely acceptable, and not to feel disheartened just because a particular journalist doesn't want that article at the time that you've pitched it. They might come back at some point and want the article at a later date. Somebody else might want the article, and yeah, I just don't want anyone to get disheartened about getting no's. I think it's, as with any version of sales, like the more you do, the more no's you're going to get.
Yeah, and I always say to people, like, I get no's all the time, and it's like my actual job. So like, if I get no's as someone that's doing it as an actual job, like it's really normal for you in the beginning to get no's. And it's just like anything, you know, like Instagram, some days I'm like absolutely loving it, and some days I'm like, I think there's a mistake, like literally no one has seen my post. But then you just go, right, I'm just going to do another post. You don't just delete the app forever. And it's exactly the same with PR, really. It's just about, you know, putting yourself out there consistently, and just not taking it personally. And just going back to what I said at the start, you know, if they get 300 to 500 emails a day, it's impossible for them to reply to everyone. So the worst thing that could happen is them not to reply. If they do actually reply and say no, I think that's quite good, because they've actually taken the time. I'd save that journalist's email address, because you're probably not going to their junk next time because they've already replied to you. And I'd send them another idea in a few weeks. The worst thing is actually not hearing from them. But that's okay, because then we just send it to someone else, or we just send it to them again and follow up. So there's literally nothing bad that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Like here, I teach sales, and one of the biggest objections I always get from the people that I'm working with is like, yeah, but what if they say no? And I'm like, what's the worst that's going to happen? It's just a word. It's nothing. There's no repercussions from it. It's fine. Just go out and speak to the next person and they'll probably say yes. And that's, I think that's the same way we should approach working with these journalists as well.
Definitely.
So is there anything else that you think we need to be aware of when we're thinking about adding PR to our strategy?
I think it's like I say, it's just trying to make it a habit. And it might be, you know, certain days work better. So Friday isn't a great day to send a journalist an email, just because, of course, if it's something that's really urgent and timely, like I mentioned, but just like your bog standard email that you're pitching a general idea, Friday's not a great day, because a lot of them are sort of wrapping things up, especially if they work at a magazine. Obviously newspapers, you know, they might work weekends as well. But Tuesday, in my opinion, is a really great day, because I find that Monday, a lot of journalists sort of deal with the urgent stuff. But I wouldn't, unless it's something that is really timely, I wouldn't be sending it on a Friday or the weekend, because you're just going to go further down the list for them to get to work on Monday. So that's just a quick tip there. But otherwise, it's just about finding a time in your week, making sure that you set up a time to pitch, set up a time to follow up. The easiest thing for that as well is if you create a separate email address for your like website, so like press at your URL, then that would make it really easy to follow up, because you just have to go into your send and you just have to forward each one to the person again and say, just checking you're seeing this. If you're doing it on the same email as your business one, then that's going to take a lot of work. So if it's possible, I would set up a separate email address, because then you're just segmenting it, so it's a lot easier.
I like that. What a great tip. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been really interesting, and anyone that's listening, I highly recommend that you add PR to your strategy. I think it's a great way to build trust with your audience. But thank you so much, Jenna. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. So many good tips from Jenna. My 3 key takeaways from today would be, 1, to start reading the media. So if this is something you want to add to your business strategy, then you need to know what's being talked about in the places that your audience is showing up in. So if that's somewhere like Forbes, go and read Forbes and what they're posting about, what they're writing about, so that you know what sort of things you should be pitching to them. So that would be 1. 2 would be to create a strategy around your media presence. So what sort of things do you want to be talking about? How often do you want to be talking about them? When are you going to pitch? When are you going to plan your articles? Those sorts of things, so that it's not something you're just kind of winging or doing on the fly. Like, we want a proper strategy created around what you're doing in PR. And then number three would be to give it a go. So if it is something you're kind of interested in, but you're a little bit scared, as Jenna and I were talking about, there's nothing bad that's going to happen. If you pitch an article and the journalist doesn't want it, nothing bad happens. It's not the end of the world, as with anything in sales. So if you've got something that you think is a good idea, go and find some journalists that you can pitch it to. Like Jenna said, you can find most of their details now where they've written articles previously, and just give it a go and see if it's something that you enjoy and that you want to continue doing in your business. But thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time.